relatable to Wisconsinites.
You know, I think the governor did a fantastic job today. I really want to make sure we are reiterating how much that this is going to save Wisconsinites money. We know that people are struggling to be able to pay their bills, whether it's childcare. Heck, I've got two kids myself. They're a little older now. They don't need childcare anymore. They're 15 and 18. But I remember when they were little, how difficult that was to make sure that I could afford that in my budget. It was a huge expense to have two little ones. They're only 2.5 years apart, so two of them in childcare at the same time, and trying to make our budget stretch to make that work. I know that families are struggling right now to be able to do that, which is why I was really happy that the governor has proposed in his budget dollars to be able to offset those costs for childcare in Wisconsin.
I don't expect a comment on this. I'll move on to the next question. But I'll simply say, back in the old days, the State of the Union address, the president didn't have to deliver it. Somebody had to go up to Congress to deliver it. You know, I think he'd be a good candidate to deliver the next State of the State, but I'll move on. One of the things I thought, well, one of the issues that was really, really, that could relate to Wisconsinites across the entire state, across a political spectrum, was this extension of postpartum badger care coverage. Governor Evers saying tonight, only Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only two states that don't have it.
I mean, I'm a nurse myself, you know that. And that is, it's honestly shameful that there are only two states in the entire country that have not expanded coverage for postpartum women. If we care about women, if we care about babies, we know that if we extend that coverage, they're going to have less infant mortality, less maternal mortality. They are going to be healthier. And I just think that's a no-brainer to be able to pass that. We know that there's broad bipartisan support within the Assembly and the Senate to pass that. So let's just get it done. Let's go ahead and extend that coverage to postpartum women.
Just a couple more questions on your busy Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joining us via phone after Governor Tony Evers' biennial budget address. Two things. Number one, we hear a lot about this $4 billion, a little over $4 billion surplus. Robin Voss, Devin Lemieux, Republicans in the legislature are saying that money is a no-go. You can't use it because we want to basically double down on this tax cut from last time around. Can you help us understand where you and Governor Evers are at? If I heard him right, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's suggesting keeping about $500 million or $500 million set aside in the rainy day fund and then using the rest of that surplus on some of the programs he outlined tonight. Is that accurate or do I have that wrong, Lieutenant Governor?
So yeah, he is asking to save about $500 million in terms of our surplus from our budget. And he is agreeing with the Republicans that he would like to also propose a tax cut for Wisconsinites. But the difference between those two proposals is that the governor really wants to make sure we are focusing on middle class, everyday Wisconsinites. And Republicans oftentimes make sure that their tax cuts only really affect the quite wealthy, who do not need additional dollars in their pockets. They're doing all right in this economy. Mm-hmm. And so let's make sure that we put dollars in the pockets of people who need it.
Final question, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, and again, we appreciate you joining us. You know, Speaker Voss has said this budget was already dead on arrival, to use his phrase, not mine. What is it going to take for Republicans in the legislature to come to a pragmatic solution on behalf of Wisconsin taxpayers to work with you and Governor Evers to get a budget passed that can actually help Wisconsinites?
So when I travel all across the state in Wisconsin, what I hear from people is they are exhausted with the partisanship. They want us to work together. And if I'm hearing, whether it's in rural areas, whether it's in urban areas, suburban areas, that people need relief in housing, in food costs, in healthcare costs. And so I know the Republicans in the Assembly and the Senate are hearing that as well. So they need to come to the table as partners and put together a budget that we can all be proud of. And so let's make sure we're putting dollars in the pockets of Wisconsinites. Let's make sure we're taking care of people here, because we know that these Trump tariffs are going to be increasing costs. So how can we provide some relief at the state level?
Yeah, I wish the governor would have put that. I thought he kind of buried the lead. I thought that was a great line when Governor Evers said, "We've prepared for the worst because of the Trump tariffs." I think he should have led with that. But, you know, hey, who am I to say? I'm just a radio host. Governor, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, is there anything I haven't asked you tonight that you believe that the Wisconsinites across this state should know about the biennial budget address tonight?
Well, look at it. The governor has put out pieces. You've heard the address. Contact your representatives. Contact your senator. Contact your representative. Make sure that they know that you support these pieces in the budget. Make sure that you know that you expect them to work together on to make sure we can get a budget across the table. And so that is the one thing that I would say is make sure you're contacting your local representatives and your senators and telling them what's your priority.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, we thank you so very much for making time for us this evening. Have a great night, and we will talk to you soon on our show. And, of course, you're always welcome to come back here on Civic Media. Thank you so much, Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joining us after the biennial budget address tonight. Going to ask Mr. Zomers here live on air. Are we going to take Senator Mark Lyons' comments now, or are we going to wait for that, or do you want to go to that?
Not just yet, but it looks like we do have Rob Coles here.
All right, very good. We're going to go to that then. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. You're listening to Civic Media's continuing coverage of Governor Tony Evers' biennial budget address and also awaiting Dan Schaefer to join us as well. Are we going to go to Dan first or are we going to go to Senator Coles first?
Senator Coles.
All right, very good. Joining us now live from our WGBW, beautiful WGBW studios in downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin, a longtime state senator that represented the greater Green Bay area, also a longtime member of the Joint Committee on Finance, Mr. Senator Rob Coles, a Republican senator. We appreciate you being with us so very much. How are you tonight, sir?
Very good, Todd. You're doing a great job. I listen to you quite a bit. I agree with a fair amount. Not everything, though.
Well, I appreciate that. In full disclosure, when I work...
This thing, I'd rather not have the ear... Can I have this come through over here?
Oh, we're working on that. We'll work. Can you hear me okay, Senator?
Well, I'd rather not have
you got the earphones. Yeah, I know.
Earphones on.
You know,
where my voice is.
Well, you and I have about the same amount of hair. You probably have a little bit more yet. But
every strand counts, right?
In full disclosure, when I worked for the legislature for former Senator Dale Schultz, Senator Cole's office was right next door to ours. So we saw each other in the hallways quite a lot. Senator Coles, it's just great to have you on. First of all, I want to ask you this. How does it feel? For the first time in a long time, how does it feel to be outside the chamber watching this instead of inside the chamber?
You know, I wasn't planning on watching it until I got a call from your station asking me to give a few background comments. You know, I'm still in it. It's hard to totally separate yourself from something you've been doing for a long time.
Yeah, no.
I won't be following the budget down to the nth degree like I have, but I'll be following it and having a few thoughts of my own.
Sure.
But, you know, for everybody, it's a time to move on, and it was time for me.
Mm-hmm. No, it's great to have you here. It's your first budget address in what, over 40 years, right? Since you weren't in the chamber in some way, shape, or form. Give us,
I noticed, I see people in there that, you know, walking down the, you know, some of the reps that some of those people were helping me in elections that I, in my, you know, years ago, mm-hmm. and now they're legislators. So
right?
It's their headache now.
give us a sense, Senator Coles, just knee-jerk reaction. What's your takeaway? What were your thoughts on Governor Evers' biennial budget address remarks tonight?
I didn't see all of it and hear all of it because I drove from my home over here just to get here in time. It's similar to other budgets that he's had. It appears that he's spending most of the one-time money, although I did hear him say that he's leaving a $500 million balance.
Correct.
That's to his credit. But it's like, where is this money coming from? It looks like he's taking the Medicaid money, which is a lot of money, and he's taking the one-time money. and spending almost all of the growth. You know, the Fiscal Bureau came out with a paper, and I read it earlier today because I wanted to be somewhat prepared for this interview.
Mm-hmm.
In January, late January, they came out with their projections on what they think the growth in new money will be in the next two-year budget. So they reestimated the end of this fiscal year, because our fiscal year goes to July 1. So we're still in the old budget until July 1, and then the mm-hmm. new budget starts after that. So they reestimated about $900 million more coming between now and January 1. However, they were only predicting roughly $750 million new money. This is all types of taxes and fees in the first year, and then roughly like $350 the second year on top of the $750. So that puts, if you put those, all the new money is slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the replicating money. So, you know, what I've preached, and I've learned this the hard way when I didn't know what I was doing when I first got down there, is when you spend one-time money, you've got to be real careful.
Right.
Because if you don't get incredible growth in the future, you've got a hole. And then how do you make up for the hole?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you how they've done it in the past. Tobacco bonds, we're still paying for that. Hundreds of millions, I think there's still $500 to $600 million of tobacco funds. This goes back to the Doyle era mm-hmm. when they had trouble balancing the budget. Bouncing the levy credit out to not pay it on time. A tax on energy, the governor mentioned that. I heard that. He wants to get rid of that. And there's some other tricks in there. I call these are budget tricks in order to balance the budget. And I know that there's several places in the budget where they pay things late. So when you look at the roughly $4 billion so-called surplus, that's one-time money, and, you know, Director Lang and the Fiscal Bureau would verify that. To spend all that, let me back up a second. That $4 billion, if you paid all the tricks that were done years ago, we're backing up, you know, to several governors, things that are embedded in the budget, that balance of $4 billion would drop by at least half. That means you're paying bills on time. That's not good budgeting.
Mm.
And eventually you got to pay the bill.
If I can just interrupt for a second,
sure.
We're talking to former State Senator Rob Coles, Republican and longtime member of the Joint Committee on Finance, mm-hmm. better known as GFC, who actually has been through mm-hmm. this budget writing process in the past. Just remind our listeners that unlike in Washington, where if we don't pass a budget, everything shuts down, in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. we're required mm-hmm. to have a balanced budget. And if you can't pass one by the deadline, it just reverts. The government keeps on going, but just under the current budget, correct?
Correct.
It's
a bit of a circuit breaker, right? So if it doesn't get done, things will move on. Now, we have to pay attention to what's happening in Washington, because that could throw some hiccups into the decision-making by the Joint Finance Committee. Now, probably in the last little while before I got on the air, the Finance Committee, I think, is introducing the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Now it goes to the Fiscal Bureau, and we have this incredible Fiscal Bureau. Our state was one of the leaders in the nation creating the service agency, the Fiscal Bureau, the Audit Bureau, the Reference Bureau, in the Legislative Council, those four service agencies. So right now, the burden's on the Fiscal Bureau to dissect the budget and analyze it financially and all the policy in it and come up with documents that the legislature, first the Finance Committee and then the full legislature, can make decisions on. So they have it for the next month and a half or so, and then there's public hearings around the state. And then after the public hearings are done, the Finance Committee starts voting on the budget. In the meantime, the rest of the legislature is like giving advice and recommendations to the Finance Committee. So it's a lot of work. There's some significant things in this budget. I don't know if the governor talked about the changes in the policy toward corrections, but that's a very big issue.
He didn't, I shouldn't say ironically, but he didn't mention a whole lot on that actually from the address tonight. But he has said ahead of the budget or the address that you're looking at the Green Bay Correctional Facility. And Senator Coles, that is an area that you represented for your entire time in the legislature, the greater Green Bay area. Of course, lines change here and there. You're very familiar with this. What's your feeling, Senator Coles, as someone who represented that part of the state for a long time on the governor's proposal to close down the Green Bay Correctional Facility and put money into other places like Waupun and modernize them?
Well, Waupun needs the money, and I think we need to modernize several other prisons, and I don't know how much that would cost, and I don't know what changes he has in his budget proposal to change the sentencing process for people. It's not clear what he's doing, and that's going to be a very tough issue to analyze. But my first thought when I heard about his when he announced his plan, I thought, okay, what do we do with the 1,100 people that are at GBCI? Do we stuff those into the current prisons that are already over capacity, or do we build a new prison? Unknown. So that's an important thing, and I know Senator Van Wongard, a friend of mine in the state Senate who's likely to be very involved in this, has that concern. Where do you put the people? It's one thing to recognize that you've got an older prison that's deficient in different ways, but it's another thing, okay, you've got to find a place to put these dangerous people. Yeah. That's a max. These are not low-impact criminals. These are high-impact criminals. The same with Waupun and several other prisons. So that's a place, by the way, to use one-time money without violating what I would call the structural deficit. If the structural deficit gets too big, you've got a big headache in your next budget.
Right.
Like raising taxes or catastrophic cuts. So, I mean, that's why I've argued for years. It's like you want to minimize the structural deficit so you have stability going forward and you don't have these big ups and downs and different.
Explain, if you could, Senator, briefly, without for those of us who didn't spend a lot of time actually on JFC, in layman's terms, what because we're going to hear a lot about this over the next few weeks and months, structural deficit. Explain to the Jane and Joe on the street what that actually means, please.
Okay. If you take all the you take what the Fiscal Bureau is projecting right now in new monies coming in, and you lay that against the appropriations. And if the appropriations are higher because they've been supplemented by a bunch of one-time monies, like the $4 billion, you know, like the Medicaid money that I think he's taking and some other things that I may not know about yet, you have this gap. And that has to be filled somehow. So it's filled the first year or possibly in this whole budget, the two-year budget. But then you go to the next two-year budget, and you've got a massive hole.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, how do you fill that? Well, you've got to either take the money back from people that you just gave it to or you raise taxes. Now, as a Republican, I mean, we've been struggling to hold taxes down, and I think income taxes at a good competitive level right now, and the state's growing. There's jobs like crazy all over the state. We're doing well. We don't want to upset that. That's an important thing. So, I would argue that be really cautious in how we're using the one-time money. You can use some of it, but to blow it all out the door, you're asking for trouble. And as I pointed out, the new money that's coming in that's recommended by the Fiscal Bureau, that based on their expert analysis, and they're usually really close on these estimates, it's 700 and some million the first year, and then another 350, 380 on top of that 700 million. Mm. Okay, so all that other money that he's talked about that he promised people, and there's all sorts of needs, and you can recognize the needs. Mm. It's very competitive. There's plenty of needs. The question, it always goes back to what can you really afford without aggravating our tax structure?
Right.
Now, well, there's people, you might not like me saying it, mostly on the Democrat side, that do not care about raising tax, that just, okay, let's raise them. No. No, on the Republican side, they'll fight that tooth and nail. Okay.
Hey, look, so, we take everybody's opinion here, Senator. I mean, that's fine. We appreciate that. We want to play the Republican response here from Senator Markwein. Not really response, but they're laying out, as you said, their budget. We want to play Senator Markwein's comments here. Okay. So we're going to wrap with you. But before I let you go, Senator, two things. One, is it oversimplification to take what you just said about structural deficits and basically say it's balancing the budget on paper, but kicking the can on the really tough decisions? Is that fair to say?
That's one way to put it, because you've got ultimately, you've filled the budget need for the immediate 2 years, but there's nothing there in the following years, unless you get incredible growth. Well, we typically get 2.5, 3, if you're lucky, 4% a year.
Right.
Well, what the governor is promising in this budget goes way beyond that. Right. You know, unless you take the Medicaid money, and that's a big debate, or raise taxes. My guess is he's also going after some taxes in the corporate area.
Final question, Senator, before we play Senator Markwein's comments here. For every fellow senator, for every staffer, for every lobbyist who ever sat in a Joint Finance Committee meeting when you were on the committee, everyone awaited the dreaded question, is it an upper? Tell us what that means and why you always asked it.
Is it an upper? I'm not sure I know what you're... No, I mean, I got to know the Fiscal Bureau folks and Bob Lang and, you know, what a team he's got. And have to get a good handle on, you know, what is the whole package, what does it do to that structural? Because if you have a structural that's, I'd say, in excess of $1 billion, you got problems in most likelihood. Mm-hmm. And then how do you come up with that money?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm arguing, you know, paying off the tobacco bonds with some of the one-time money and possibly some other bonds that are available to be paid off, you know, a new prison. That's a one-time event. Mm. Brownfields, no one's talking about brownfields. We've got thousands of brownfields all over the
cleanup
state.
Funds, yep. Mm.
Yeah, and that would be great for economic development.
Groundwater.
Well, groundwater, that's a whole nother debate within this budget, because he has administrative rule, and I'm hoping that they can finally come to a conclusion on PFAS. Myself, my staff, Senator Wimber and his staff, and Senator Felskowski and Senator Markwein, we've all been very involved in the PFAS money, and now the governor wants to put another $140 million. I'm not sure how that interacts with the trust fund that's sitting there that didn't go out.
Right.
So that's a dilemma in this budget. I'm hoping that they can finally come to a conclusion. We all spent tons of time trying to resolve that question, and we didn't quite get there last time around.
Senator Rob Coles, a former senator, a longtime member of the Joint Finance Committee, we thank you so much for your time, for your insight,
thank you, Todd, tonight.
And
I like your show. I think it's a valuable service to have a good policy show like yours, even though I mean, I agree with some of it.
But what's difference than when we were just sitting around at 10 o'clock at night in the Capitol? We never agreed then either.
No, we didn't.
Always great.
There's a lot of diversity.
But exactly right. And that's the point, is that we can you can still be friends with each other and find some things you agree upon, but have hearty but respectful debates on stuff you don't. That's politics, last time I checked.
Yeah. The only difference between now and then is we don't have our old friend Mike Yellis
lecturing
us and pushing us and
where's the blackboard? Where's the blackboard? Senator Ellis had a blackboard. He had the whole budget of the blackboard, right?
He'd had several blackboards. It's a legendary guy.
I think
of him all the time.
Oh, me too.
Something else.
I'd say buy you a drink next time I see you at the Avenue, but the Avenue's not there anymore. We have to go, Senator. We'll have you back soon.
Thank
you so very much. Senator Rob Cole, former senator from Green Bay, we appreciate you very much joining us at the WGBW studios in downtown Green Bay. Always great to catch up with Senator Coles. Straight ahead, we're going to hear from Democratic State Senator, current State Senator, and a member of the Joint Finance Committee, Kelda Royce, is going to be joining us as well. Dan Schaefer standing by. I'll be joining us in a bit as well, our political editor here at Civic Media. But first of all, I want to bring you some of the comments from the Republican co-chair of the current Joint Finance Committee. Senator Howard Markwein spoke just a while ago about Governor Evers' biennial budget comments.
Hello, everybody. First of all, to the people of Wisconsin who are concerned about the budget that Governor Evers just announced, have faith. Most of the stuff that's in the budget, the 20% spending increase, the $1 billion in taxes, all of the wasteful new programs that are being created and regulations on the private sector, the increases on business, the increases in income taxes, all of those things, dead on arrival. We are not going to let Wisconsin become Tim Walz's Minnesota. We saw over the course of the last year, as Governor Evers continued to campaign for bigger increases in taxes, larger increases in spending, like our neighbors to Minnesota, and we also know the effect that that's had on their economy and the economy of America. We do not want that for us. So we are going to go back to the base like we have before. We'll talk about that today. We're going to talk about some of the specific provisions that are inside Governor Evers' budgets. They are very familiar. In many ways, this is kind of like the movie Back to the Future. He tried these things for the last 2, 4, and 6 years ago in his budgets. Just like then, lots of tax increases, lots of spending, and I have a belief that my colleagues will reject them just like they did before. We know that as families are struggling with rising prices and rising costs, the last thing that they need is growing government, higher taxes, and more spending. It's not going to happen in Wisconsin, and you can have faith that conservatives, Republicans in the legislature will make sure we keep our pro-business approach while investing in our priorities and ensuring that Wisconsin is a place that you can still afford to live, even if the people who spend most of their time in Madison have a different version of reality. So to talk about some of the specifics, I'm going to turn it over to Senator Markline, who will talk about the process.
Thank you. So we've been here before. As the speaker said, we've seen this movie before. The state is in good financial condition right now, and that's because of the sound budgeting that we've done as Republicans over the last better than a decade now. This budget included, as the speaker said, all kinds of policy, and that policy is going to get removed from the budget probably in the first action that we take in our first meeting. We're going back to base like we have for the last several budgets. We're going to build a budget that's fair, that's sustainable into the future and doesn't impact our businesses and our families adversely. So I also want to caution some people that the surplus that we have is largely one-time money, okay? And so we're going to be cautious as we build the budget, not spending a lot of ongoing programs on that's based on a one-time surplus. So again, we look forward to the process, and I will turn it over to Representative Hurd. Thank you.
Wisconsin Republicans are listening to Wisconsinites all the way from Superior to Kenosha and every place in between. So this next step of the budget, we will be going throughout the state as a committee and listening in public hearings, as well as all kinds of our representatives having individual listening sessions, talking to all stakeholders. And then as we do our public hearings, every Wisconsinite should know they will have a chance to be heard, to tell us what they want to do and how they want us to spend the money. Thank you. The next person will be speaking is Senator Tustin.
Well, thank you, Representative Hurd, and proud to be here with my legislative colleagues. I guess my initial reactions are, based on the governor's budget address, is that he's a former educator, and apparently mathematics was not his strong suit, because if you take a look at what the governor has proposed, the state is going to be facing a multi-billion dollar deficit going into the next biennium. And as legislative Republicans have shown previously in our last budget, that we can make key investments in our infrastructure, our schools, while also providing tax relief, which I want to remind folks that under Governor Evers in the last budget vetoed nearly 95% of the tax cuts that we approved. So we are going to continue to pass a responsible budget that balances, that provides significant relief to our taxpayers here in the state. But more importantly, we are going to pass a budget that ensures that Wisconsin does not become the next Minnesota. And so I look forward to work with my colleagues over the course of the next several months to provide significant relief to Wisconsin and ensure that we keep moving on the right track. And so with that, I'd like to turn over to the co-chair, Representative Mark Bourne.
All right. Thank you, Senator. I guess as the speaker started out saying, we're in a familiar spot. I think someone else said we've seen this movie before. That might have been Senator Markline. So we know that this is another executive budget that's bloated, reckless spending, just finding ways to grow government, making up all sorts of new agencies or sub-agencies or offices again tonight. So we know we have to toss it to the side, and as my colleague, Senator Markline, said, start from base. We also know from our past experience, one of the ways that we sought to bring responsible budgeting to this the state budget was to make government smaller and less intrusive in our lives. We chipped away at agency budgets and reduced employees. In the last budget, we reduced the governor's wish list of new employees by 800, and then we also cut another 800 from the base. We heard loud and clear in this last election from voters both in Wisconsin and nationally that they've had enough. They know government is too big, too wasteful, and they're tired of the abuse and overreach. And so we are going to increase our efforts in this budget to look for more opportunities to cut both spending and positions. Some of that will be led in the Assembly by our Government Oversight, Accountability, and Transparency Committee, but it'll also, you'll see those efforts increasing on our legislative joint committees such as Audit and Finance. We will work to reduce the size of government and support ways for families and businesses to thrive without the heavy hand of government. With that, I'll turn it over to the Senate Majority Leader to talk.
And that's been part of the Republican response on the Joint Committee on Finance. We heard from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who we didn't necessarily think we were going to hear from tonight, but he took the first lead on that. And then heard from Senator Howard Markline, Representative Borden, amongst other people, you know, basically saying, as we said at the first part of the broadcast, that the governor's budget was dead on arrival. So really no new news there other than saying they're going to start from base, which is, we heard from a former member of the Joint Finance Committee, Republican Rob Coles, beforehand, saying there's nothing really new there. So, we're kind of back to ground zero, as it appears here. And so we're going to be transitioning over here in just a minute. My co-host for the evening here on the program, Dan Schaefer, is going to be joining me. But right now at, we'll call it 31 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock, here on the Civic Media Radio Network, we are joined in our ongoing coverage by Senator Keldo Royce, who is a Democrat who represents the Isthmus here in downtown Madison, amongst other places, a longtime member of the legislature and a current member of the Joint Committee on Finance. Senator Royce, thank you so much for making time for us on a busy evening. I will ask you the same question we asked former State Senator Rob Coles, your first takeaways of the governor's budget address tonight.
Always great to be with you, and I'm delighted to see the governor proposing a responsible budget that invests first and foremost in our kids and in our families, making sure Wisconsin's a place where everyone has the chance to thrive.
Lots of meat on the bone, as we said earlier, lots to that the governor laid out there. One of the things that really stood out to me was the governor tonight calling on the legislature to join him in expanding Badger Care, particularly for postpartum women on Badger Care, saying that Wisconsin and Arkansas, of all states, were the only two that do not have that. That seems to be, at least on the face of it, Senator, something that should resonate with women across the state because, you know, last time I checked, Republicans have babies too.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a bill that has very strong bipartisan support. In fact, it passed the Senate 32-1 in the last session, but it's really being held up by Robin Voss, by just the Republican leadership in the Assembly that are kicking brand new moms off of their health insurance just weeks after giving birth. And, you know, not only is that totally inhumane and immoral, it is also very expensive, right? It costs us dearly. And we have some of the highest infant mortality rates in the world, even as a developed nation, in part because of this kind of lack of access to health care.
I'm joined at the desk now by my co-anchor for the evening. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media, Dan Schaefer. Dan, you're out of breath here. No, not really. He came down the street and hear it from the Capitol. Dan, do you have any questions you'd like to follow up with Senator Royce here while we have her on the phone?
Yeah, it was a chilly couple blocks walking from the Capitol to the Civic Media studios here. But Senator Royce, thank you again for joining us here for the broadcast. Now, one of the topics that the governor talked about in his budget address is one that you've talked about on the Joint Finance Committee as well, and that's childcare. You know, do you sense that there is, you know, perhaps going to be a different tone in the Capitol discussing issues about relating to childcare, given, you know, the campaign that we just had in 2024 and how contentious that and important that issue has been over the last couple of years?
You know, I wish that were so, because this is an issue that obviously crosses all partisan and geographical and income lines, right? Childcare is very difficult to find and very difficult to afford for almost everyone in our state. And yet, despite that, Republicans have already said that they're going to offer $0 again for childcare. We've seen the closure of way more than half of our childcare centers over the last 20 or so years. And this is just going to continue to accelerate, and it's hurting our workforce. It's hurting our businesses as people have to drop out because they can't find high quality childcare. So this is going to have a real long-term impact on our economy and on the economic stability of families if we can't figure out how to invest in childcare.
Senator Todd, again, we talked Senator Coles hasn't been on the Joint Finance Committee for a while, but, you know, certainly somebody who really understands the budget making process. Help our listeners, again, kind of pick up on what he did, understand this budget making process, because a lot of people say, well, why is the governor talking again? Didn't he just do that? No, that was the state of the state. This is the budget address. This is really, to put it in football terms, the governor gets the ball first on the playing field, and now this goes to the Fiscal Bureau under the great direction of Bob Lang, who has worked with Republicans and Democrats in a bipartisan way for years and years. And the legislature then goes through this. And then it comes finally to you folks on the Joint Finance Committee. And that is the opportunity for citizens around the state to truly talk directly to all of you on the Joint Finance Committee.
Well, that's true. And I should point out that the governor and his agencies also did quite a lot of public input and listening sessions around the state, right? So there has been already quite a lot of public input that helped to create this budget. But the Joint Finance Committee will do its own listening sessions around the state. I asked the Republican co-chair this evening, hey, when are we going to do that? How many are we going to do? He didn't have an answer for me, but he did say that he thought that they would be doing some of these. I think one of the longer term trends, though, is Republicans kind of ratcheting down the amount of public input. So I would just encourage folks, even if you can't make it to one of the hearings, you can always email your legislator to make your voice heard. And if you don't get a response, you can email my office and we'll make sure that they get it. We'll print it out and hand deliver it.
There we go. So another topic that really stood out to me in the governor's speech was education funding, and in particular, higher education funding. A quote that he had from the speech was, "This is a make or break budget for our UW campuses." What does that mean to you?
Well, it means that he recognizes that for several generations, you know, 40 plus years, we have been underinvesting in our most important economic engine of the state, which is the universities of Wisconsin. And at a certain point, we can't keep doing that. We have been coasting on the investments that were made by our parents and grandparents in this great university system that has become a world-class university. And the universities have themselves done an incredible job of getting federal research dollars, which of course are now under threat because of Trump and Republicans, as well as private donations and grants, right? So they have done a good job, even though state support has dramatically declined relative to their budget. But at a certain point, it's not sustainable. We have got to start rebuilding the money that has been taken away by Republicans, particularly over the last 15 years, or these universities are not going to be able to thrive and serve not just the students, but all of us in Wisconsin who benefit from the great work and research that is coming out of these universities.
Senator, a follow-up on that, on Dan's question there, and always appreciate your candor, and you've been so kind as to come on our program during noon and talk about this. I appreciate that the governor is signaling out our UW system. I still call it UW system, by the way. But I appreciate he signals that
I
out.
I know, I have that trouble too.
we didn't hear a lot about that in the state of the state address. I understand there's only so much time and you got to get your governors of all stripes have to get their points in. I appreciated the governor calling for more money to what I'm still calling the UW system. Now it goes by UW colleges. I just wish that he would have addressed the two-year colleges issue. There was no mention of hard times. And my hometown of Richland Center, the campus there, Waukesha, UW-Washington County, it was been six of them closed so far. There was no addressing the economic hardship or impact that it's having in those communities across the state. I wish you would have spoken to that tonight.
You're absolutely right, Todd. I mean, the truth is that Republicans set in motion many years ago a plan to try to kill our two-year colleges in Wisconsin, the UW system two-year colleges. And, you know, that plan is, you know, well into being completed. And we shouldn't be ignoring or papering over the very real losses to the communities that had two-year campuses, and also, of course, the lost human potential, right? All of the students that could have gone there, could have seen a pathway to higher ed, and now have seen that door closed, and not to mention the impact, of course, on our state's economy.
Another issue that came up a number of times in the speech was not just higher education funding, but just K-12 education funding more broadly. You know, he talked about the rise in referendums that have been happening all over the state. Your reaction to that, mm-hmm. and your thoughts more generally on K-12 funding in this particular budget?
Well, this was really welcome and long overdue. I mean, the reality is that kids that graduated from high school last year have never, since they were in kindergarten, even seen an inflationary increase. So we have been doing wrong by our kids for many, many years. And this reverses that trend and actually brings us back to where we need to be. You know, I would still like to see a higher reimbursement for federally mandated special ed services. You know, but I think this budget, there's no question, this proposal puts public education back at the forefront of our state's commitment and does what we have been asking for a long, long time, which is making sure that every single kid in the state, no matter who you are and where you're from, that you can get a great public education. That is what our Constitution promises, and that is the legislature's job to finally deliver again.
Senator Royce, I know you have to go. You're a busy person. We appreciate you making time. I want to make sure that I'm politically kosher here. Are you doing this interview from your Capitol office, or are you outside the building?
I'm walking out.
Okay, Meg. I just want to make sure I wonder if I can ask you a political question.
Yeah,
That's the reason I asked.
Feel free.
Okay, I appreciate it. I just want to make sure everything was okay. I didn't want to put you in a rough spot. The state superintendent race for public instruction is going on right now. The latest information we have here is 65% of the precincts are in. Incumbent Dr. Jill Underly is at 37.4%, but Brittany Kinzer, the Republican-backed candidate, is at 34.7%. She is in striking distance to win this tonight. Jeff Wright is at just shy of 28% at this point. Lots of time to go here. Again, 65% of the vote in. What does this say to you, if anything, Senator Royce, about what's at stake come April 1st in the general election?
Well, it says to me that hopefully two-thirds of our state rejects the idea that our public school system should be run by a privatizer or someone who thinks that we should be spending our taxpayer dollars on unaccountable voucher programs. So that's good news. But it also says that we have a lot of work to do to make sure people actually know what's at stake and that we are prepared to reelect a public education champion to our state superintendent position.
Dan, anything else?
Just thinking about that in terms of putting the budget together, obviously Dr. Underley put together her own proposal for that. You know, once the rubber meets the road, what are some of the things that you're, you know, hoping in particular to see discussed and hammered out in the process?
Well, you know, I loved a lot of the proposals that the governor had on finally bringing health insurers to heal, making sure that we're enforcing consumer protections and that people are getting what they paid for in terms of health insurance. I also think, you know, he didn't spend a lot of time talking about his great plan for modernizing our correctional facilities and right-sizing and bringing us into the 21st century, as so many even Republican states have done. So, you know, I hope these are areas that should have pretty broad bipartisan support. Now, Wisconsin Republicans tend to buck the tide, but, you know, I'm always hopeful that because they'll have such great public support that's bipartisan, that that maybe Republican legislators will listen to their constituents for once.
State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat, who represents the city of Madison, a large part of the city of Madison. We thank you so much for the generosity of your time, Senator. Always great to speak with you. You're welcome anytime. Have a great rest of your evening.
You too. Thanks, Dan and Todd.
All right. Thank you so very much. State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat here of, I believe, the 26th District here in the city of Madison, a longtime district for former State Senator Fred Risser, longest serving legislator in America for a long time until he retired. And Senator Royce has stepped into that district very well.
You've always got those little trivia anecdotes to pepper in here, Mr. Allen.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a nerd when it comes to Wisconsin politics. And so it's always a lot of fun. We thank her. We thank former State Senator Rob Coles as well, and of course Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, all for joining us. Dan, before we wrap up coverage of the governor's budget address and go into election night mode, any final thoughts from what the governor had to say tonight?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting being in the room because you always have this sense of the people who are standing and applauding on the Democratic side of the aisle and all the Republicans who just sit and scoff at everything. So yeah. It was interesting to see that play out, in person in the room. You know, I think there were a couple times where Evers, I do wonder if he would have brought these types of things up in places that are not necessarily, might not be like a budget speech or something in front of the whole assembly like he was tonight, if they would get, you know, support from a number of members. Like, he singled out Robin Voss and talking about extending Medicaid for postpartum coverage. You know, would that have gotten applause had Voss not been sitting up in front of everybody in the building there? He had, you know, some of the other proposals. You know, I saw that Evers released some of his early excerpts today talking about the no tax on tips. And I think the Wisconsin Republican Party, you know, said, hey, that was our idea. That was President Trump's idea, whatever it might be. Is that the type of thing that they want credit for? Or do they want to get it done? You know, and I do wonder, like, where are the places where there could be some level of bipartisanship, because, you know, obviously it's a partisan speech. Like, we're in this era of divided government in Wisconsin, and we have been since 2019 when Tony Evers took office. You know, is there going to be a more bipartisan budget given the slimmer margins that we have in the legislature and just given the larger, you know, dynamics at play in the state of Wisconsin, the purple state that we are?
We're going to go through a couple more of these cuts, Somers, in just a minute here that you worked up for us. We'll do that in a second. But Dan, to your point, I mean, we'll leave the hard analysis, I guess, tomorrow to all of our shows across the network. But I was struck by one of the phrases that Governor Evers kept using tonight. It was, quote, the legislature should approve my plan, ... Mm-hmm. And then he'd come back, kids will perform. The legislature should approve my plan. Look, I'm no Karl Rove, I'm no David Axelrod, but whether it was Jim Doyle or Tommy Thompson in years past in that chamber, usually it was more of turning around and saying, you know, Speaker Voss and I don't agree on much, but I bet you would agree, Speaker, that such and such high school or middle school or elementary school in Burlington, your hometown, does a really great job. I would invite you and the legislature to join me in making all those kind of schools. You didn't hear a lot of that kind of phrasing. It was a lot, the legislature should approve my plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of, my proposal is this. The plan that I have is that. And it is, you know, it seems like he's putting this out there. And I think it, in a lot of sense, these budgets can be aspirational in a certain sense. But putting that out there and saying, react to what I'm saying instead of let's come together to get something done. I think that is a very interesting, you know, observation that you've had with this. And it does seem, you know, to exemplify like what the type of reaction was in the room as well, because I think Republicans, for every time Tony Evers has proposed a budget, they've come back and just basically tossed the whole thing in the budget making process that we've been talking to Senator Royce and former Senator Coles about as well. So, you know, are they going to take that same step this time? Every indication suggests that such is going to be the case.
A couple more of these cuts from tonight's speech by Governor Tony Evers, the biennial budget address. Let's take them in order, get Dan Schaefer's reaction to it. One of the things Governor Evers talked about tonight, which should play well with most people across the state, no new property tax increases. Here's the governor from tonight.
Wisconsinites wouldn't have to raise their own property taxes to keep school lights on and doors open if this legislature invested in K-12 education from the get-go. In the budget I'm announcing tonight, proves we can both make the investments in our kids that we need to and hold the line on prevent property taxes from going up. All told, our pro-kid budget will do what's best for our kids by providing more than $3.15 billion, nearly all of it is spendable revenue for schools across Wisconsin, and we're going to make those investments while holding the line on property taxes to ensure the average homeowner will not see a property tax increase.
Governor Tony Evers talked about no property tax increases. Dan Schaefer, keep me honest, if I understood the governor correctly tonight, he's suggesting his budget where if the local municipality does not raise property taxes, then the state would come in and make up whatever is short locally for true needs, not wants, but needs. Was that your understanding as well?
I'm going to have to look at the details for that one because it was a little bit confusing to in the room and in what the governor was saying, because he was saying that right in the same context of talking about however many referenda that we were having across the state as well. And many times those referenda are, you know, do you want to raise your property taxes to pay for whatever's happening at your schools or what your local government or whatever it might be? So, you know, it is one of those instances where I'm going to have to take a little bit closer look at what exactly the proposal is going to be, because, you know, on the surface in the speech, it is a little bit confusing. It's a little discombobulating, Todd.
Well, it's very discombobulating to use the phrase. And I thought, boy, you know, Katie bar the door, who's going to be the arbitrator on a want or a need in the town of X? Exactly. You know, I mean, I think that one, as they say, needs some more clarity. Also, I talked about home costs tonight to the average Wisconsinite. Here's Governor Tony Evers from earlier.
Let's save Wisconsinites money on their monthly utility bills. I'm proposing to eliminate the sales tax on electricity and gas for Wisconsin homes, which will save Wisconsinites about $100 million in out-of-pocket costs each year.
Now that one, Dan Schaefer, seems that should play well.
It does. And you know, I think it, you know, Wisconsinites don't pay taxes on a number of other items, medications or groceries and things like that for sales taxes. And so I think that, again, it seems like the type of thing that maybe you'd get applause from both sides of the aisle on.
You would think, but they had their marching orders, I think, tonight from leadership. Speaking of something that might tick off Republican leadership, as Senator Royce alluded to in her comments with us earlier, the governor taking a page from President Trump's book on eliminating taxes on cash tips.
Well, let's also make sure Wisconsinites can keep more money in their pockets. I'm proposing to nearly double Wisconsin's personal income tax exemption. That means Wisconsinites will pay no income taxes on the first $1,200 they earn, period. And I want us to work together to pass my proposal to support students and workers in our service industries by letting them keep the tips they earn tax-free. Let's eliminate taxes on cash tips.
Somebody said, I knew it in the chamber there.
Yeah, well, it was in his excerpts from earlier today to talk about that. And, you know, that is seems to be one of those things that both parties tend to agree on. You know, Donald Trump talked about it a lot in his campaign. You know, as a former, I used to wait tables myself and always wanted to make sure that, you know, kept as much as I could for my take home for that evening. And I do think it's a smart proposal, ultimately, yeah.
Yeah. Expanding badger care. This is one that should play well in rural areas as well for hospitals. Governor Tony Evers talking about expanding badger care tonight.
Health care should not be a privilege afforded only to the healthy and wealthy. It's why I am again proposing to expand badger care, which would save Wisconsin taxpayers nearly $2 billion over the next 2 years. That's billion with a B, folks. And expand quality, affordable health care coverage for about 100,000 Wisconsinites. And I'm also providing new hospital investments to improve access to health care across Wisconsin, including our rural communities.
That one, Dan, should play well. Lots of rural hospitals struggling right now across the state of Wisconsin, particularly we've seen it up in the Chippewa Valley.
Right, but again, it's the same story that we've seen over and over again with Medicaid expansion, with badger care, with greater investments from the state government in health care. You know, Robin Voss has really dug in on this issue in particular, whether it's Medicaid expansion, expanding care for new moms. You know, does this have a path forward in a Republican-controlled state legislature with Robin Voss as the most powerful Republican in the state? I don't see a path forward for it. I do wonder if, you know, if Governor Evers were to propose something like you were saying earlier about like, hey, let's come together on this. You know, he didn't seem to like really have a tone to say, hey, let's strike some sort of grand bargain, right? Because I feel like the Medicaid expansion, given how many red states have accepted the Medicaid expansion and how critical that is for rural hospitals in Wisconsin that are closing, you know, you would think that could potentially be part, you know, of some sort of fiscal grand bargain in a budget like this. But that wasn't the tone that we saw tonight, was it?
No, not at all. And this is something former Senator Coles talked about. You know, he didn't want to get into it that much because this has been festering ever since Governor Walker was governor of not wanting to take this Medicaid money.
Right. And, you know, at the time, it seemed like Walker didn't want to do it because he wanted to run for president.
Right.
that seems
that
like several that's several lifetimes ago now, right, in Wisconsin political history, more than a decade since he's won an election. So, I mean, it's not it's a very different dynamic now. It was something that Governor Evers campaigned on in 2018 when he first won. It was something he talked about in his reelection, but still has not been able to get it done because of the way the state government works in Wisconsin. Robin Voss is still holding all the cards when it comes to those purse strings.
Yeah. Let's play at least the first part of this quickly. This is Governor Tony Evers on postpartum badger care coverage, Wisconsin, Arkansas.
In the year of the kid, let's finally do what's best for our moms and babies. Let's extend postpartum coverage for pregnant women on badger care up to 1 year after giving birth. Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only two states in America that haven't done this. I mean, nothing against Arkansas, but come on, folks. I've proposed this in every budget I've introduced as governor. There's also a bipartisan bill to get it done that almost 90 legislators support. One legislator should not be able to single-handedly obstruct a bill that's supported by a supermajority.
Governor Tony Evers talking about expanding care for postpartum. We talked about it with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, a nurse herself, and with Senator Kelda Royce. Last time I checked, Dan Schaefer, you're a dad. It seems like whether you're Republican or Democrat, both kinds of women are having babies.
Absolutely. And if we want to be a pro-family state here in the state of Wisconsin, this is the type of move that you make.
Right.
You don't want to be the last state in the union to not expand Medicaid coverage for new moms. And this is actually something that we ran an op-ed at the Recombobulation Area from Emily Cephos, who is from Outagamie County. She wrote about this. I would encourage you all to check that piece out.
That's going to do it for our coverage for the state budget address for now. Of course, there'll be more discussion and analysis tomorrow on the network programs, but we invite you to stay with us because it's also election night in Wisconsin. Polls have closed. We're going to take a brief pause for station IDs and quick national news. Then Dan and I will return on the other side with Wisconsin Decides 2025 with our entire news team. Who will move on to the spring general election for the DPI secretary? We'll tell you after this. You're listening to the Civic Media. Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild returns to discuss the results of the primary election. Also, why did Judge Chutkan deny 14 attorneys general requests to block Doge firing? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A jury in Los Angeles tonight finding rapper A$AP Rocky not guilty of firing a handgun at a former friend in 2021. Outside the court.
We want to thank God first. You got to thank God first, you know what I'm saying? And I really want to thank the jury for making the right decision, you know?
U.S. and Russian delegations meeting in Saudi Arabia today discussing ending the war in Ukraine. Ukraine and European nations not included at the table. New tonight, the Trump administration cutting funding to organizations that provide free legal service to unaccompanied migrant children. Wendy Young, president of Kids in Need of Defense, called the stop work order devastating. A reversal from Elon Musk's Doge team, a decision to terminate 10% of NASA's workforce, has been reversed. Musk's SpaceX has billions of dollars in contracts with NASA. Two backcountry skiers buried and killed by an avalanche in central Oregon's Happy Valley. Officials say rescuers have recovered the victims. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WI.